B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
We're talking about our relationship with this great sport and a man who has made it his life, his vocation for this sport. He's every bit. When we think basketball, we think about Larry Brown and the impact that he has made throughout this game, and we need to get Larry on here to talk about Kobe. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
When I say to you about Kobe, your first thoughts, Coach?
When I heard about it at a little after 10, my phone started blowing up. Heard from a lot of coaches that were telling me their kids were all devastated. And you can just only imagine the impact he had on this sport and this game. First thing I thought about, he's going to an AAU game with his daughter. And, he was saying, when somebody dies, a lot of people always say nice things about him, just to say nice things. But, in his case, it's really, it's true. He, as great a player as he was a better person. And with our game, the way it is now with so many kids, just thinking they're going to go right to the NBA or the NFL or Major League Baseball, they sometimes don't realize, how hard it is and how dedicated you have to be. And then that there's life after basketball. And Kobe was ready to give so much after he was finished playing. And what a role model that he was for so many people. It's just real, real sad.
It is. Yeah, it was earlier, Larry. I had a ball boy that worked with you guys for you, and he was recounting a story about how you and Kobe were huddled together. It was well before a game, and Kobe called him over, and you were always so kind to him, and Kobe called him over, and he kind of sat and listened to you guys talk basketball, and then he worked out, he helped Kobe, rebound for Kobe afterwards to get him ready for the game, and he talked about just that relationship, how much he loved you. He actually said to the ball boy that he said, I wish I could play for that man right there, talking about you.
Well, I'm a Philly guy, and, I remember every time he came in our arena, can you imagine how it was, when you were there?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just incredible, but it was like that wherever he went. I've been lucky. I coached pro in college. And in college, so many of these kids realized that, I had some relationships with some special players, and they always would ask me stories. And then we would always talk about why some of these guys are so great. Mm. And I always used to tell them, my coach told me one time, talent is a gift from God, but character is a choice. And I tried to think about that, and, it really made a lot of sense. And that, sure, that's what Kobe Bryant was about. He didn't get to be compared to Michael. And, in our generation now, the kids growing up, Kobe is what Michael was,
mm-hmm,
what Allen was,
yeah,
to so many. But he was a great, great athlete, let's say that, but he wasn't quite like Michael in terms of athleticism, but he worked harder than anybody. And then every game he played, like Allen, like Michael, like all the great ones, he gave his very best, effort to win every game. And then his desire to prepare. I remember, you know, they had a camp called ABCD, which Nike ran for all these AAU prospects. And I remember a lot of the kids were offered an opportunity to watch Kobe work out at 5:45. And, you know, so many of them were so excited, and, you know, say, yeah. But they didn't realize it was 5:45 in the morning. You know, and that was how he worked out all summer. He worked out twice a day, you know, early in the morning and late in the afternoon. And I remember Mitch Kupchak, who was the GM for Kobe, saying, you know, you gotta tone it down as you get older. And he wouldn't accept that. You know, it's just so sad. I don't know how we can, you know, figure this out. And then when you said you grew up watching him, that blew me away.
He, you know, it was so interesting, Larry. He, I was listening to Jay Williams, and he was talking about that when he was 21, you talk to your point about hard work. He goes in summertime, he goes to the gym, and he stayed longer than Jay Williams. Jay Williams, he got there, and Kobe was just lacing him up, and he worked and worked. They're working out. And then finally, Jay Williams had to stop. And then afterwards, like about a half hour later, Kobe comes back and he goes, I was just letting you know that I will work harder than you. I will get there before you and I will stay after you. And he goes, I'm some 21-year-old rookie. And this is Kobe Bryant as this, you know, champion telling me this. And it really is a lesson. And he had that Philadelphia grit about him. And I know, listen, he made his bones in L.A. And, you know, he spent that time in Italy. But his formative years were spent in Philadelphia, Coach, and right down the street from you. And I know what Philadelphia means to you. And it's inside him. He's got that kind of grit and determination that kind of embodies the area.
Yeah, in Lower Marion High School, you know, it was interesting you talking about Jay Williams, but as soon as this happened, they started getting players on. I heard Jalen Rose talk about him so eloquently and what he meant to Jalen and, you know, what Jalen saw in his future and how he was going to impact so many. And I heard Joel Embiid say he started playing basketball because of the influence of Kobe Bryant. And like I said, when I was a college coach, I brought Allen back, Mutombo back, Rasheed back, to hear these guys talk. And they always mentioned Kobe. You know, the guys would all ask, who's the best player you ever played against? Or who's the best player you ever thought? And they'd all mention Michael. And then Kobe was right there. And then, of course, you know, Allen being Allen, you know, admired Kobe, admired Michael, but Allen always felt, hey, I was the best.
Sure, sure.
You know, that's the way those great guys had to think.
Yeah,
that's right. And like you said, you know, it's not an accident when guys are truly great. It's the work they put in, and it's the pride they have in the work they put in. And that was what Kobe was all about. And then, you know, I get so excited. LeBron built a school. Jalen has built a school. David Robinson built a school. Kobe was given back in so many ways. And the way he was champion women's basketball, which is so neat. And then because of his daughter, he died taking his daughter to an AAU event. You know, all parents ought to think about that one.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
I know, I look at her face and that poor little angel. Oh, it breaks your heart. It does. And there was a picture of him, and he was sitting courtside at Staples Center, and he's got his arm around Gigi, and he's looking at her, and he's got that. And you know this. I remember when you had the baby, and you talked about smelling your kids. And then when I later had two kids, I realized what you meant by that, and smelling them. And I remember you talking about that love again when you and Shelly had your child. And I'm looking at Kobe with that fatherly devotion, adoration of his child. And it just sticks. It's like indelible in my mind's eye.
Yeah, I'm going through those pictures just as we speak. They've been all over the internet, and things that he was saying to his daughter, if you really truly want to be great. And it's not about being great. It's about doing the best you can with what you have. And that was the message he was giving to her. And every time he spoke, you know, I've heard him speak to a lot of young kids. And he gives them that message. You know, it's not we're not all entitled. You know, now, you know, so many of these kids that you see going to college, if they don't play right away and have instant success right away, they almost, you know, think there's something wrong. And, no, there's nothing wrong. Like he said to Jay Will, you know, I'm going to outwork you. You want to be really special? This is what you got to do, what you got to put in. And it's not only win basketball. It's about, you know, all the other things. Now he's got three daughters.
Yeah.
You know, I can't imagine, you know, them having to grow up,
I know.
You know, without him. And then, you know, Gigi, like that. Those pictures you're seeing of him with her are so genuine.
Mm-hmm.
But we had, you know, David Stern passed away. It seems like the older you get, all it is about funerals or graduation.
I know, mortality when you're, is at our footstep,
And when you're a Philly guy, you know, he got 81 points in a game. Scored 60 his last game. You know, the other guy that scored more than him was from Philly, Wilt. There's a lot of great things happening, you know, with Philadelphia and its basketball. And Kobe was such a big part of that.
You know, Larry, we were talking about how tough he was, right? I think back, and you lived through this, right? And I was at the Inquirer at the time, and I'd gone out to do a story on him. And I was at that L.A. Southwestern College, and they had practice. And it was Phil Jackson's first year. And remember, Rambis gets fired. Del Harris got fired before that. And Kobe had broken his hand. His hand was in a cast. And they were beating him up out there because that was the Kobe Shaq, the beginning of that kind of fight that went on a little bit. And they thought he was a selfish player, all this stuff. And he heard all this noise, and he was 21 years old. He was 21 years old and 2 months, and he defeated it. Like he grew past it, and he didn't let the noise bog him down, like defeat him. So, an amazing journey for a 21-year-old kid to have to deal with all that pressure in L.A., and he overcame it all and became one of the greatest players ever.
Yeah, I can give you a couple of unbelievable Kobe stories. I was the Olympic coach.
Yeah.
You know, 9/11 happened, and almost the whole team didn't go that we had selected, and we didn't have the situation like they have now where they pick the team through tryouts and, you know, it's a 4-year process. But I remember, you know, he couldn't go because some problems in Colorado. Karl Malone lost his mom. And then because of 9/11, a lot of guys chose not to go. And, you know, I was so looking forward to being around Kobe because you know, he told me how much the Olympic movement meant to him. When he was 17, Billy and I sent, we were at Indiana, Billy King and I, we sent a scout to watch him play and at Lower Marion. The guy came back and said, I don't think he's quite good enough. And then we had, we actually had the 10th pick in that draft when we were in Indiana.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you think Jerry West saw that in him and traded Vlade Divac, who was a hell of a player for him. And I remember John Calipari called me and said, what do you think of this kid, Kobe Bryant, Larry? I got the 8th pick. He was at New Jersey. I said, I heard he's great, John. He said, well, I want to draft him, but my owners don't think we should. But they finally gave in and said, if Kerry Kittles is not there at 8, you can take him. And I talked to John. I used to talk to John. You'd still be the New Jersey Net coach or Brooklyn Net.
Right.
You know, and I'd probably still be in Indiana with Billy if we were smart enough.
No, we needed you to know, hear.
But you just, but again, it gets, goes back to what Howard said and what you're talking about, you know, the way he reacted with the ball boy. And, you know, he was just an unbelievable person. And yeah, he might have, in some people's eyes, he might have been selfish, but he was selfish because he had this will to win so bad.
Yeah.
And he could do it. I mean, you know, you can say that about Allen.
Yeah.
But nobody on our team thought he was selfish. They thought he had this unbelievable desire to win, and that was about Kobe. And that just doesn't happen. You know, it's sad, man.
It really is. It really is. It really is. I, you know, when you're somewhere entwined and, you know, we think about 2001 and, you know, all those great memories and moments and, you know, the finals and, you know.
Oh, yeah. Just, you know, I've been on the radio a lot, you know, the last 24 hours, but, you know, I remember before every game when we'd have a scouting report, I'd ask the player that was going to guard somebody to, you know, give the report on how they would play him. You know, like Mutombo, if he's going to play Shaq, he would talk about how he's going to play Shaq, or Aaron McKee or Eric Snow is going to guard Kobe. And, you know, and people always used to talk about scouting reports, and I always laugh with Kobe. You know, you're going to say, hey, I hope he doesn't embarrass me. And I'm going to need all the help we can get. And I hope he has one of these nights where the basket is like a thimble instead of a bathtub. But they all had so much respect for him. And then the other thing, you know, a lot of stars, you know, because of the coach, they don't guard the other team's best player. Kobe always did.
Yeah. He was a great defender.
Yeah, I mean, and we don't even think about that when you think about Kobe Bryant. You think about 81 points, 61 in Madison Square Garden, 60 the last game he ever played.
Yeah.
And 20 years, 18 years, an all-star. Wow. You go on and on.
I know. Especially you, who was such... who loved, could just love hard defense. And he was, man. He locked you down. I remember that All-Star game, the end of the All-Star game when it was one of his last, when he D's up LeBron. And it was such a beautiful, singular basketball moment. And he actually blocked his shot. And it was like, wow. You know, just, it was almost a metaphor for, you know, this is my standing in the history of the game, and I will not relinquish it. He was an amazing defender.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody talks about superstars, and it's always basically related on, you know, a guy's offensive ability. You know, they always talk to me about my Detroit team that we end up winning and not having any superstars, and then, you know, Allen's greatness. And, you know, we had a ton of injuries that year and that during that final. But, you know, we had a lot of guys that could really guard. And I always say, why don't we start considering superstars based on the effect they have on your team winning, not only on the offensive end, you know, but on the contribution they make for the team's success in every area. And when your best player is willing to defend every single night, how simple it is it to coach?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty incredible about Kobe.
It really is. Larry, you're the great Larry Brown with us, and you're a Philadelphia treasure, and you're a basketball treasure, and we love you, and we thank you for giving some time today to remember one of the greatest of all time, Kobe.
Oh, thanks. Thanks so much. Talk for everybody. You know, I can't imagine what it's like in Philadelphia right now, but at least we got to see him play.
That's right. That's right.
All right.
Love you, brother.
Take care.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
There he is, Larry Brown, one of the greatest. He really is just one of the best, giving us some poignant memories of Kobe.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.